Ruin My Childhood.
Welcome to Ruin My Childhood, the podcast where we decide if some things are better left in the past. I'm Kat.
I'm Mike.
And today we're talking about Pretty Woman. Mercy. Anyway, I saw this movie about 10 years ago, and I don't remember it being that risque, but it's definitely not a kid's movie, but we all definitely watched it as kids.
My mom loved this movie, and, you know, people who grew up in the 90s and the 80s, we had VCRs, and we would record movies off of TV. So I remember vividly as a kid, every once in a while, we'd be recording something, whether it was TV or a movie that we wanted to have that was being shown on TV, having to get up in the commercial and hit pause on the VCR.
Yep.
And I know for a fact this movie is one that I did that on. So I honestly, this is going to be the first time that I'm watching this that's not on TV. So I'm thinking I'm going to have my mind blown that this might be a little bit more risque than I think.
Maybe.
I don't know. But in any case, I think maybe if you listen to this podcast with your kids, just because this is basically about a hooker, maybe this is an episode to skip with the kids and just listen.
I like how you say the word hooker before you give the warning to skip it. Good job, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. People are dressing up their toddlers as Holly Golightly.
That's true. She was a hooker.
She was a high-class call girl.
A hooker.
Which is a hooker. Sex worker. So should we just jump right into this? Do you want to give a little synopsis?
All I remember about it is, I'll just tell you what I remember about it, because I honestly don't have a synopsis for it. From what I remember, Richard Gere is like a businessman. He's kind of a jerk, and he does like hostile takeovers, or he's a mean lawyer or something like that, and he gets a prostitute, and then he decides to hire for a week because he has like a bunch of events he has to go to, and I remember Jason Alexander is a jerk.
Was Richard Gere's character a jerk?
I would assume so.
I remember him being kind of docile.
I honestly don't know. I don't remember this movie at all.
I don't remember a lot of it. I definitely remember that vein in Julia Roberts' forehead.
Oh, that's always a thing.
It's prominent in my memory of this movie.
I know exactly what vein you're talking about. I don't know. Should we just have our listeners tell us what they remember?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Let's see. I've got one from, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Enzognigs. Ooh.
Easy.
How would you say that?
Enzognigs.
Enzognigs77. Enzognigs77 said, Jason Alexander playing a prick of a character. Stick with George. That's funny because I've been watching Seinfeld lately.
All right. I've got one from Waynardo. Oh, here we go. It says, all I can think of is the vein that runs across Julie Roberts' forehead. I call it her acting vein because whenever it gets emotional, that vein gets to work. Same, Waynardo. Same.
BS and Craft Beer said, I saw this movie for the first time about a year ago when my wife showed it to me, but I always knew that one scene they do in The Office. I don't know of a scene in The Office, so
I don't know.
We'll have to watch it.
I've got another one. Rosewater Slaughter. Julia Roberts is a sex worker, and Richard Gere wants to save her. There's a weird condescending class stuff, and his family sucks. She's generally charming, he's generally not.
Is his family in this movie?
I don't remember his family being... I mean, probably his friends suck, because they're rich, because he's rich.
Damn, rich 1%ers.
I mean, really, anyone who plays polo kind of sucks.
Oh, that's right, there's a polo scene.
There's a polo scene.
Oh, I played water polo, it's a little different.
I mean, from the absence of horses, you think? You have anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, let's go watch this.
All right.
Richard Gere is looking for a woman with sophistication, style, and taste.
Nice tie.
She's everything he wants and more than he can handle. Pretty Woman.
We are back from watching the movie, and I really liked it.
It was a good movie. I don't know if it was worth all the Oscar nominations that it got.
I like how the header for your note says, Already Woman.
You know what? It's fine, okay?
No, it's not already.
It's supposed to be pretty, but my thumb hit the O instead, or my index finger. I don't know what I type with. But get over it.
I mean, I guess that's not a bad thing when you accidentally hit an O.
You're so mean. Anyway.
How does that mean?
This movie's drastically different than I remember. I remember saying when we, you know, recorded the intro part that I thought Richard Gere was, like, a jerk. He really wasn't, like, at all.
No, he was kind of a non-entity. He was, like, the antithesis of charismatic.
Yeah, and he was, like, it's weird that he's in, like, this big high acquisition kind of thing, and he doesn't really seem to have the personality for it. Like, he's not cutthroat. You said it. He's a non-entity.
I mean, I can understand how he would be in that career if he was kind of born into money.
Right.
And maybe someone else had set up a company that he took over. That's not entirely implausible.
Right, but still, it just, he doesn't seem to have the stomach for it. I don't know. He doesn't really seem to know the way that the rich people world works.
The rich people world.
Yeah, like, he doesn't know how to drive, like, a high-end car. He doesn't understand how prostitutes really work.
Well, he's from New York.
That's
true. So
there's
a big difference between rich people on the West Coast and rich people in New York City. Rich people in New York City might go their entire lives without ever driving a car, because they don't need to.
That's true. He did say his first car was a limo.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, it was a good movie, like you said. Yeah, it was a very good movie.
It was charming.
Yeah, I agree.
And it was a lot less risque than I was expecting.
There was some tasteful nudity. Brief.
There was a brief flash of boob.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it.
I was surprised. Like, I didn't know that Julia Roberts ever did any nudity.
It was just kind of like a hint of nudity.
It was...
Like, if you were to freeze frame it, it probably would just be blurry.
It'd be a blurry nipple.
Blurry nipple. Not anything you're gonna have any fun to. So, the very beginning of this movie, it starts with these... like, long, sexy, sweeping shots of Los Angeles.
Oh, man.
And it is so freaking smoggy. It is disgusting. And I'm just like, oh, hashtag EPA. Oh, man. Hashtag Republicans want to go back to that.
Yeah, that's really bad. it was gnarly.
This was pre the Clean Air Act. And, like, I remember we used to drive to LA a couple times a week. My dad was stationed here after the Northridge earthquake for emergency management, and we lived in Northern California. So my mom and my sisters and I would drive down to see him, and I have vivid memories of being very young and driving over the Grapevine and seeing all the smog, just like a brown layer near the horizon. And you kind of forget about that these days until you see a movie like this,
or just
and there
picture.
It is. Yeah, it's gross.
I was lucky enough to never see the smog.
I'm lucky that we had the Clean Air Act for as long as we have.
Right?
While it still exists. For now.
Right?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I was actually cracking up. That made me laugh pretty hard.
You made me pause the movie so you could take pictures of it.
You paused the movie to take pictures of it.
I mean, yeah, we both took pictures of it.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And it's just, it's so funny when 80s movies or 90s movies have these establishing shots of the wealth and glamour in a specific scene, because it's just so ugly by our standards.
Right.
Because the aesthetic was not, it wasn't pretty.
Like that penthouse that he was staying in?
Oh, gosh.
It was not...
Interior design definitely left something to be desired. Like, okay, mid-century modern still holds up, still looks great, still fabulous. Anything from the 80s or early 90s, just burn it. Burn it. It's awful.
What about the 70s? Shag carpets.
It depends.
Oh.
Depends.
Oh.
If you're going to go full out with, like, flowered wallpaper and, like, really go for it, I dig it.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to do a summary of the movie real quick?
Yeah.
Don't give anything away.
Okay.
Just do a summary.
Basically, in a nutshell, Richard Gere is in, like, high-stake acquisitions of big companies, and he breaks them apart and sells them individually to make more money. He's in Los Angeles doing this big job, and he doesn't know anything about Los Angeles, so he's really the only person he knows is his lawyer. And he's staying in this really nice hotel, and he gets lost, and so he gets directions from a hooker, and then decides to keep the hooker with him for 6 days So he has a date to all these different events, and it's just like a culture kind of shock kind of thing where
a little bit My Fair Lady.
Yeah, the lowest low, the highest high kind of mix, and they learn stuff about each other's world. Mm. Then they kiss each other on the mouth.
I thought it was an interesting dynamic, the whore and the vulture capitalist.
They're both kind of whores.
Is he a whore? How is he a whore?
I mean, he says something along those lines at some point, that they're both have to keep things impersonal and keep
it's
people
not
separate.
Personal,
and it's all,
it's business.
Yeah, and keep people separate, and it's all about money and the rules and the boundaries. So it is kind of interesting how these two people on the complete opposite sides of the socioeconomic spectrum do have very similar ways of conducting their business.
Right, they do. There are some problematic things.
Oh, of course.
About the preconceptions that we have about sex workers in general. Because in movies, it's always like,
hey, baby, want a date?
Okay, in movies, sex workers a lot of times are, like, addicted to drugs, or they're down and out, and they have this horrible life, and they just kind of fell into what they're doing, and they can never have a real relationship because they're a sex worker, and everything has to be at arm's length, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've known a few sex workers, had a few friends who are sex workers through the years, and, you know what, it is kind of like 50-50 with the people that I've known. Like, some people, yeah, they do end up in really bad situations, and that's how they fell into it, and that's why they're doing it. Or, you know, I have friends who just enjoy what they do. They enjoy being powerful in whatever situation they put themselves in, and
it's the oldest profession.
Oh, my God. You spit on my face when you said that, no less. You know, so it does kind of bother me that it tends to be portrayed in a very narrow perspective in the media.
Right.
It's not
I
always that way.
Well, and there, I think I could be wrong. I know, obviously, it's legal in certain parts of Amsterdam, but I also think in parts of Germany, prostitution's legal. And they basically, the way it works is you get like a permit. It's almost like when you buy a parking.
You get a license.
Yeah, you buy a license for the day.
You have a license for that vagina?
Yeah. Nope. Yes. but yeah, it's interesting because it's something that's always going to exist. And obviously, if we regulated it and kept it safe, then it would be a lot
right. If better. We regulated it and kept it safe, it would keep the sex workers safer. It would keep the Johns safer. It would be less taboo. I mean, like, honestly, if someone wants to do that, what do you care?
Right.
It's safer if they're registered and getting regular health checks and we know where they are and what they're doing. You know, it's just safer all around.
Right.
And keeping it illegal is not really helping anyone.
It was interesting how at the beginning of the movie, I don't remember, I think her name was Kit or Kip, her roommate.
DeLuca.
Her, I guess, was it her cousin or just a friend?
I don't know.
I heard her say cousin at some point, but she kept referring to her as her friend. But it's the lead from Just Shoot Me. It's her roommate and everything. So the movie starts off with like her.
Isn't the lead from Just Shoot Me David?
David Spade is in the movie, is in that show, but he's not the lead.
Oh.
I mean, it's an ensemble, but she's in it. She's one of the main characters. But the beginning of the movie, it starts with like a party. And Richard Gere's character breaks up with his girlfriend over the phone, and she says something along the lines like, I see your secretary more than I see you. So then he runs into an ex-girlfriend and asks, and she goes, oh yeah, but your secretary was a bridesmaid,
at my wedding.
And then it does like a hard cut to Julia Roberts getting ready, and she's putting on a wig and everything, and she sees somebody getting hassled about rent, so she goes to check her toilet for money, and it turns out her roommate took the money to buy drugs. And then it shows a scene of them, like, working a corner, and they're talking about, you know, possibly getting a pimp, and it surprised me that they didn't have one. Like, I always thought that you basically had to have it, like, they were coerced into having a pimp. Like, I didn't realize you can really be a prostitute in, like, a busy area and not have a pimp.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of them are on their own, because it kind of ends up being safer in the long run.
Oh, that makes sense.
And that's, I think that's one of the main problems I do have with sex work, is that so many of these dynamics end up being these horrible, like, power plays. And there are pimps out there who will purposely get girls addicted to drugs so
right.
that they're on the hook for it, you know? Like, I'll give you so much coke and you just work it off, you know?
Right. Well, and that's the thing is that in this movie, it starts, like, you see her on the way to the bar. There is a dead prostitute who OD'd. You know, so, like, they hint at this.
Did they say that she OD'd?
They assume, like, they said, when they went into the bar, one of the patrons said something about her, like, ODing.
She was a crackhead.
Yeah. The thing that's crazy about this movie is it's actually a pretty mellow take on prostitution. But the original script, like, Julia Roberts' character Vivian was going to be a cokehead, too.
Right.
And they ended up writing that part out.
I'm glad they did, because, yeah. That's very problematic, well, assuming that all sex workers have drug addictions. Right, well,
and apparently there was going to have this big whole thing where, and they kind of touch on it. There is a scene where she goes to the bathroom when she's up in the penthouse, and Richard Gere kind of, like, barges in on the in the bathroom, and he thinks she's doing coke, but she's really just flossing her teeth, and he's like, no drugs, get out.
What are you hiding behind your back? Doing?
Yeah, and it's just floss.
Yeah.
There was another version of this movie. You
shouldn't neglect your gums.
Yeah. There's another version of this movie where her roommate was going to actually OD, and, like, there was going to be this, that was going to be, every romantic comedy has a point where, like, the lead actor and the lead actress, or I guess they're both actors now, but the male and the female leads have a schism. They have to divide and then get back up together. Apparently the original version, that divide was going to be her friend died because she wasn't there kind of thing. So
it's heavy.
Yeah, this movie was originally going to be super dark.
Doesn't seem like a Gary Marshall film.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it was interesting, though, because there is that kind of, I think, like, and, you know, it's hard to say because of the, like, you know, dozen or so sex workers I've ever known. It's hard for me to be like, oh, yeah, that's spot on. That's totally wrong. You know, because everyone's different, obviously. But there's this one line where her roommate is like, well, Vivian, Julia Roberts' character, is talking to her roommate. And she's like, don't you want to get out of here? And her roommate's like, get out of where? Where the F you want to go?
Yeah.
And it's like, that is a common theme. In that kind of lifestyle, it's like so many of them have a lot of potential to do so much more, but when you get down to it, it's easy money.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. So, I mean, we've spent most
Not easy money. It's available money.
Right. It's funny because we've spent most of this talking about prostitution, not the actual movie. But, you know, it's this character, she's fairly new to the life. Like, she's only been doing it for a couple of months or something like that. And she has this, like, mantra, like, we decide when, we decide what, we decide how much kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, originally she's kind of, like, hassling Richard Gere's character, Edward, about giving him directions. And she's, like, $5, $10. And then eventually he's, like, $20. And she's, like, oh, well, for $20, like, I'll take you there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of, like, have an instant connection. They're kind of, like, talking. She's making fun of him that he doesn't understand how to drive the car. So mm-hmm. he ends up having her drive the car. And on that first night, you know, they're kind of haggling, like, how much for a night? And she's like, $300. And then the next morning he decides, hey, I want to have you for the whole week. And she throws out $4,000. He's like, wait a second, $300 a night. They haggle, and it's a really good scene. And then there's just, like, she's in the bathtub when this happens. And so when they agree on $3,000, she literally goes, $3,000? Holy shit! And then just, like, slides under the water, and you just see bubbles and everything. It was really cute. Like, it's funny. Like, it's weird that this, like, exchange is charming.
Right.
And then she comes up, and she says something along the lines of, like, I would have done it for two, and he's like, I would have paid four.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it's weird because it's so endearing, but
I think it's because it establishes that he doesn't devalue her.
Right.
You know, he's...
Oh, and he has the money.
Right. So he initially just kind of needs a date for all of these important business meetings that he's got coming up throughout the week.
Right.
And that's why, you know, he's like...
And his girlfriend just broke up with him.
Yeah, his girlfriend just broke up with him. She's not going to be there. And, like, there are certain social situations that you invite prospective clients to, and you want to be personable, and part of that is including your significant other.
Right.
It humanizes you. Yeah, he kind of, like, needed someone in a pinch. But he recognized the value in her. He wasn't necessarily embarrassed by her.
Right.
Like, he put his coat over her, walking her into the hotel through the lobby, more so because other people were going to make her uncomfortable.
Right.
Staring at the way she was dressed, because she's obviously a streetwalker. But everywhere else, you know, he wasn't concerned. It also, though, it doesn't seem like he's the smartest guy. Because he's completely... like, not concerned with one driving his friend's Lotus Esprit down Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
Stopping and asking obviously a hooker
yeah.
for directions, letting her get in the car and then giving her money. It was broad daylight, wasn't it?
No, it was night.
It was visible.
Yeah.
It was very, you'd think he would be smart enough to not pick up a prostitute and then obviously right. pay her right there.
Well, and then also, like, it's weird because he says something along the lines of when they get to the hotel, it's, you know, one of the nicest hotels in Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. And he has the penthouse and he makes a big thing. He's afraid of heights and it comes into a play a couple times in the movie, and he makes a point of like, I got this because it's the best. And you know, he tells her like, hey, put on the coat, and she's like, why, I'm not cold. He goes, well, you know, your type don't normally frequent here, kind of thing. It's weird that he was willing to bring her there, because he was all about appearances.
He's all about appearances, but at the same time, everyone in that hotel is hired help.
That's true. I mean,
that's socially where he's coming from. That's, like, his home away from home. That's where he always stays when he's in Los Angeles. So I kind of get that. Did you see the big old Dianetics billboard in Hollywood Boulevard?
No, I didn't.
I just thought that was hilarious. No. Wanted to mention that.
The thing that was interesting, and there was, you know, a lot of characters are like, so Gary Marshall directed this, which I didn't realize, but he used a couple actors that he's actually used several times over, so...
It's that whole Rob Reiner crowd.
Yeah, what's his name? Hector Elizondo.
From the Princess Diaries. I love him.
He's awesome. He's actually done like three movies with
him. He's always the same character, yeah. But I love him.
So he plays like the head of the hotel kind of thing. And there's a point when Vivian is trying to get back into
the head of the hotel.
Or he's the hotel manager.
He's like the manager.
Yeah. He's the hotel manager. And when, you know, Vivian's trying to get back in after she was supposed to go shopping, he pulls her into the office and basically is like, hey, you know, I better not see you here after this, but Edward, Richard Gere's character, is, you know, our biggest customer, and, you know, we're gonna bend the rules for him.
It's kind of like, we cool because he's cool, but that's it.
You're right. So, like, once he's gone, we better never see you here again, and we need to, you know, have an alibi. Like, who are you to, what relative are you to him? And she's like, his niece? Oh, that's what I thought, you know. And then he ends up helping. It's great is he's initially like very upset that she's even there. Mm-hmm. And then in that one scene, she's so charming that she buys him, like wins him over almost immediately.
Right.
And she's like, look, you know, it is what it is. I get it. You know, I tried to go buy a dress and the people were mean. So then he has one of his staff members, like get her at least one outfit. And then, you know, they're all by the end, then she asks for help on like how to eat at a formal dinner. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the movie, he's like, you're welcome back anytime. Like, come visit. Like,
yeah.
It was sweet. And it just plays like Julia Roberts is very charming.
She is. And I love that this movie lets the female character shine. And that so they cast her first.
Yes.
Which is so important because she's obviously the main character. And then they cast Richard Gere, who is popular and he's attractive. But he's not necessarily charismatic, and I think it was a great choice because it really gave her the room
right.
to take the spotlight in every single scene.
And she did.
And you don't miss him. You don't miss that overwhelming, charismatic male presence because she just makes up for it, and she's incredible and fantastic. And then he, you know, they're a good pair. In the film.
Right. And at I mean, first, they paired kind of, up again in Runaway Bride, like 10 years later.
I love that movie. And so at first it kind of bothers me as I'm watching the movie that he is such a non-entity and he's really not, you know, he's nothing special. But right. then it also kind of makes sense the more I think about it. He probably approached it from the standpoint, like there's this one scene where she's getting to know him and she's like, so what, do you have a wife, a girlfriend? He says, well, both. I have an ex-wife who is... in my ex-house with my ex-dog. That's so sad. And then his girlfriend had just broke up with him. So it's kind of like, I can understand why he approached it that way, that more subdued performance. Like, right. He's moody. He doesn't have a lot going for him other than his business. But he's also dissatisfied once she points out, so you don't make anything. You just take other companies and break them up and sell them. That's all you do. And then it like kind of hits him. He's like, oh my God, I don't really do anything. Maybe this is what I need to change.
In this particular case, he really likes the owner of a company that he's buying.
Right.
And then gonna dismantle. So, you know, she, it's funny because she, like you said, she points this stuff out, and then he's never really thought about it. Mm-hmm. So they go to dinner with, you know, the business owner, his son, Richard Gere's character, and then of course Vivian, and you know, she's super charming and she's obviously out of her element, but they still kind of all kind of joke around like, oh, I've launched an escargot before, or I don't know which fork to use either. What's funny is there's like a waiter in that scene when the escargot goes flying and he goes, it happens, you know, more than you think. He catches it. It happens more than you think. He, in The Princess Diaries, there's a similar scene and he's the same actor's in it and he says the exact same line. So Gary Marshall likes to use the same people over and over again. But it was like right after that dinner, she's like, oh, you like the guy, don't you? And he was like, oh, you know, it's business kind of thing. But you can see in his eyes, you know, it wasn't there. But as the movie goes on, he does open up. So there's eventually a day where he flies her to San Francisco and then takes her to the opera. And she has an amazing, like, just like an amazing experience at the opera.
La Traviata.
Yep. Which is also about a hooker.
About a prostitute. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I had no idea. Touch. You told me what it was when we were watching. And then the next day they play hooky and just like they go to like really crappy diners and everything. And like he starts to open up and, you know, he was a little bit more charismatic by the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then you had Jason Alexander, who was a dick throughout the whole movie.
But he was so good at it.
Oh, he was great at it. He's great in the role. He's a
little toad.
He's just a more successful version of George Costanza, really. Like, George Costanza would be the exact same way, I feel like, if he was as successful as his character Philip was.
So he tries to overpower Vivian in one scene.
A couple of times.
And I thought that was an excellent choice, that he was the actor that they chose for that role. That it was not some big hulking man. And they were able to illustrate, like, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be, like, this puny, shriveled little prune of a dude. And that kind of experience can be so deeply traumatic. And it can be deeply traumatic to someone who has sex for money. Like, it doesn't matter that that's what you do. It's all about consent.
That, well, and also it plays, it's more important because it's every interaction she had with Philip. Mm-hmm. Was like that. So the first time she meets him is at the polo match, and she goes and talks to the son of the business owner, because he's a polo player, and he comes in like, oh, hey, how are you? So his character, you know, Philip, who's Richard Gere's lawyer, gets upset, and he's like, oh, I think it's, you know, corporate espionage and everything. So he ends up telling, you know,
he thinks that Vivian's a spy.
Yeah, he thinks Vivian's a spy. So Edward tells him, and he's like, no, she's a prostitute that I've hired for the week. And he immediately goes over to her and was like, hey, you know, I heard you're a prostitute and kind of thing. And he goes, hey, you know, my wife's going to be going out of town. How about you and I get together sometime? And like immediately, like the whole time he's talking to her is like he's like stroking her arm and putting his hands all over her and just trying to be a creep and have that power. And she's just obviously uncomfortable with it. And then the next time they interact is at one point, Edward decides he doesn't want to just take apart this business anymore. So this guy's pissed. Philip's pissed because he's not going to get as much money because they're not going to sell. So he goes to confront her. He's like, it's your fault. And then, like you said, he tries to overpower. So every interaction is,
and it illustrates that rape isn't about sex, it's about power.
Exactly.
And dominance.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
In almost every case.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. I'm really glad that this movie touched on that. That doesn't matter who you are, what you do for a living, it's never okay.
Yeah.
Another thing I really liked and appreciated about this movie is, and you don't expect it from this type of film, but there was a really great attention to detail in this movie.
What do you mean?
Like, the scene when he first brings her back to his hotel room and they haven't negotiated her staying the week. She thinks she's just staying for the night at this point. And she's laying on the floor watching I Love Lucy. And at that point, like, she's been there for a while. She's been eating strawberries and her lipstick is rubbed off.
Oh, okay.
And, like, most films, even modern films, they're not going to, like, let that realness happen. They're going to keep the actress looking perfect throughout,
right?
You know, until it's a different
different scene.
A different script day.
Right.
They're going to keep her makeup perfect. And I love that they had that little touch where, like, she had been relaxed and just kind of hanging out and her lipstick was a little bit worn off. And then later, when they're together in the bathtub, just, like, bathing and cuddling and enjoying each other, like, her toes are pruny from being in the water for a long time. You know, I liked those little details that they kept in the movie.
That was a great scene because that's kind of, like, the first scene that you really get to know his backstory a little bit more personal, where he's like, I got into this basically as a way to screw my father over because my father, like, left my mom and myself. And,
right.
You know, his business was the third company that I ever bought and dismantled. And, you know, it took me $10,000 in therapy. And she goes, I've got each of my legs is, I don't remember how long she said, but she goes, I've got 44, it's like
41 inches of therapy
wrapped around you. And it was only $3,000 or something like that. I mean, the dialogue in this for a 90s movie is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, there's some pretty good back and forth.
Are all those little details. Like when he accompanies her to go shopping on Rodeo Drive for the first time.
That's a great scene.
They cross the street. They're walking down the sidewalk. He's like, get rid of your gum. And she just like spits it out on the sidewalk and these people have to dodge it. And there are all these little details in the film that if you blink, you'll miss it.
Right.
And I like that I like when they put that kind of stuff in there. It's not just everything is establishing shots and then going into a scene. Like, they have these little real moments.
Well, and they do that several times. Like, when she goes shopping by herself for the first time, there are a lot of fairly long takes, you know, 3, 4, 5 seconds of her walking across the street and people looking at her because she's, you know, not in the appropriate attire to be on Rodeo Drive.
Right.
And of course, you get that famous scene when they refuse to help her and then she comes back after she's got a ton of clothes, like, big mistake. Huge.
Yeah. And it's just a charming film. And I like the scenes where they were able to improvise a little bit, like when he's showing her the $250,000 necklace.
Jesus Christ.
And she goes to touch it and he snaps the box shut and she laughs. And that was completely improvised. But it just works. You know, they have this great chemistry that translates so well to the screen.
It's true. It's hard not to love watching the two of them on screen together.
Yeah. They're a good pair.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, major scenes that I want to talk about.
You know, so for an R-rated movie, I expected this to have a lot more sex in it. But I think the R rating was really just by like the subject matter. And it's something that I never really thought about, just being a little bit familiar with the film. But in doing a little bit of reading about it, a lot of people didn't want to be associated with it. There were several car companies that did not want their high-end cars, like Ferrari, passed on having their cars in the film because they did not want to be in a movie about a prostitute.
Well,
prejudice runs so deep
too. Like, so many, like Sandra Bullock turned it down. Molly Ringwald, Diane Lane,
Sarah Jessica Parker.
On the male side, basically every leading man turned down this role at some point.
Stupid.
So nobody wanted to be in this movie.
Big mistake.
Huge. I mean,
it was charming.
Oh, I loved the scene when Richard Gere. So there's three shopping scenes: one where she's denied,
mm-hmm.
One where somebody from the hotel helps, and then the one when Richard Gere's there. And so he walks in, and the dad from 10 Things I Hate About You is the manager of the shop, and he comes in, and he's like, "Hey, what can I do for you?" And he's like, "We're gonna spend an obscene amount of money." And so they get the entire store shuts down for just like the two of them. And then there's a point where he's like,
"How embarrassing?
Profane? Profane.
I really like you." Yeah, it's fun.
And then like, what's interesting. So Irem thought this movie was, he legitimately was looking for a prostitute. And then it's like, had this one like, oh, why do I keep her around? And it was like, he kind of stumbled into this situation.
He fell into it and he was bored and lonely.
Yeah. And then he decided to roll with it. But there's a few really great interactions. So there's a scene when she's looking for him. She wants to spend time with him. She wakes up, like, they were watching a movie together, and then she wakes up at 3 a.m. He's not there. So she goes to, like, the bellhop, and the bellhop's like, oh, he's in the bar, and he's playing piano. And
he wrote that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He composed that piece himself. And he's actually playing it.
And
there's a really sexy scene.
Yeah.
On the piano.
Yeah, so there are a bunch of dudes watching, like, waiters and stuff like that who are on break or whatever. They're just down there watching. It's 3 a.m, so there's not much for them to be doing. And so she comes in and kind of sits down, and he tells them to leave. And she's like, oh, you always get what you want or something like that. And he goes, yes. And then he picks her up and puts her on the piano and then proceeds to do stuff.
Dang.
With her.
It's a hot scene.
And it's... But it's still, like, it feels right.
Right.
And then there's another scene that I really liked where, in that same shopping scene, she sees, like, one of the workers has a really nice tie. And she goes, oh, I think Edward would like that tie. And the manager's like, take off the tie. He wants to give it to you. Kind of thing. And so he comes back to the hotel room and she's wearing just the tie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem, like, it's sexy.
It's not raunchy.
But it's not raunchy. Like, it seems sweet, even though it's a very, it's not explicit. Like, it's. It's sex, but it seems right in that moment.
It's not gratuitous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really well done in terms of, like, it is a very sexual movie, but a lot of it's implied. There's only real one sex scene that you see.
Right.
And even that's the one with the nudity, and it's very much like you're looking at it through, like, a headboard or something like that, so you only see parts of it. I was surprised,
honestly. It's artistic, and I think they didn't overdo it. You know, all of the scenes make sense. There's important context, and they are usually doing something with the plot. So, yeah.
Or it's very big on the character.
Right. So by today's standards, not an R rating, probably.
Just because it has multiple F-words.
Oh, does it?
It has a couple F-bombs. It probably would still be rated
with R. The most minute amount of editing, I think it could scrape by the PG-13 by today's standards.
I don't think you really get nudity in PG-13s anymore. I think Titanic was kind of the last one that kind of got in. I still think, like, if you edited it and just got rid of a couple F-bombs, I still think it probably would be R just because, you know, America hates the woman's nipple.
Well, and America hates women who embrace their own sexuality.
That's true. But, I mean, honestly, it's not too bad. I agree. It should be... You could make this a PG-13 movie pretty easily.
Right. So I don't really have anything else to say about this movie. Loved it. It was charming.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
That's about it.
So ruined your childhood or not?
Definitely not.
Definitely. I can't say it ruined my childhood because honestly, I didn't remember it all, but...
I'm not sure why I was able to watch it as a child, but whatever.
I watched a deeply edited version of this movie. But no, I enjoyed it. It was better than I thought it was going to be, honestly. Yeah.
It's a good, solid movie. What are we going to be talking about next time?
It's not a tumor.
Kindergarten Cop.
That's right.
So, yeah, make sure you guys tune in next time to hear us talk about Kindergarten Cop.
Check out our YouTube link below. Check out everything that's MDX Pods related at mdxpods.com, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, where can our listeners find you, Miss Katrina?
I'm all over the internet at Katrina Ossity.
Excellent. And then, of course, listen to our other podcast, Remake Rewind. And that's it. Thanks for
listening.
I'm
going to be guest starring on...
That's right.
Is it going to be the next one?
It's going to be the next one.
I'm going to be guest starring on the next episode of Remake Rewind, where we talk about...
We're going to be doing The Parent Trap.
No,
we're not.
Freaky Friday.
We're doing Freaky Friday. Same thing.
Not the same thing.
Both had Lindsay Lohan.
Can we wrap this up?
Yep, we're done.
Bye.
Bye.